are listening to KBOO Portland. Coming up next on Words and Pictures, host S.W. Konzer has guests from the Stumptown Comic Foundation talking about Portland Comics Month. Stay tuned.
Hello and welcome to Words and Pictures on KBOO. I'm S.W. Konzer, your host this morning, and it is April in Portland, and we are going to be talking about Portland Comic Book Month with our guests today. We've got Shannon Stewart and Cable Hashitani from the Stumptown Comic Book Foundation, which is a fantastic little group that's grown out of the Stumptown Comics Fest, which is coming to town near the end of the month. So I'd like to say welcome to Shannon and to Cable.
Thanks, Gonch. How are
you? How you doing?
And first, well, let's start with you, Shannon. You're the director of the Stumptown Comics Fest. And give us a little bit of information about what's happening with that this year.
Well, it's April 24th and 25th, the last weekend of this month. We have special guests Gene Haspiel, Paul Pope, member of the Activate crew, Batten Lash, Jackie Estrada, Kate Benton, tons of independent comic creators coming to town.
I heard that Paul Pope, that was kind of a last-minute deal, and he's a very well-regarded character from France. He's kind of a wild character there.
From France?
Not from France, sorry.
Brooklyn? Yeah,
I thought he was originally French, wasn't he?
No,
really?
Not at all.
Okay, well, that's... That shows my comic book knowledge. Okay, well, let's talk about Portland Comic Book Month. Now,
sure.
You two have been working. Cable, you are the owner of the Sequential Art Gallery.
Correct.
Which is a great resource for artists who have beautiful exhibition work. And you've got actually a cool little exhibition right now from, this is a Shamus Heffernan.
That's correct. Shamus Heffernan showing poster art and pages from his forthcoming book called Freedom, which is a book set in pre-Revolutionary War America.
And a beautiful book.
Absolutely beautiful.
And in your spare time, you're the head of the board of the...
I'm the president of the board of the directors for the foundation.
Now, is this is a nonprofit or not-for-profit foundation that supports not only the festival, the Stumptown Comic Book Festival, but...
Correct.
It is a not-for-profit.
Not-for-profit.
Yes.
Basically, what the foundation does is shepherd the fest to make sure that it's always creator and independent publisher focused.
So there's no Star Wars, merchandising people like giving out DVDs of their films and crazy stuff like that.
Sure, there is.
Okay.
Just not so that it overshadows the comics.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this year we have the Alter Ego Society there who will be giving out their DVD,
and they work predominantly with PEAR, which is an organization that works with at-risk and homeless youth.
And the Alter Ego Society, we'll mention that they're not superheroes in the sense of, say, the DC and Marvel superheroes, but they come up with their own ideas. And some of them are, there's the guy with the reset button for the face.
That would be Reset.
Yes, okay.
Yeah, they're patterned on superheroes. I mean, they are superheroes. So, yeah, I would say they are.
Superheroes. They tromp around the streets. You might see them on the streets of Portland sometimes.
They're not part of the real-life superhero movement. This is just people in costume that get together to put on fundraisers,
but you can check them out on MySpace or Facebook.
But that said, the festival itself tends to focus on creators.
Right.
We have a couple of key retail partners who are in the room. We have a couple of most of the local publishers set up, but all of that is in support of comic book creators and getting them in touch with comic book fans and new comic book fans.
So the minority area of some big comics festivals, Artist's Alley, would actually be pretty much the entire Stumptown Comics Fest.
In terms of Comic-Con International, something that big, that has 150,000 people through it a year, yes. We would basically be more like San Diego Comic-Con of, say, 82.
And not only the foundation, but also the festival are very supportive of up-and-coming comics artists. You have Portfolio Review with really great people from the various studios around town.
We have in the past. We actually won't be having a Portfolio Review this year in order to pack more artists and creators in.
Mm-hmm. Well, you're hoping through the Stumptown Comic Book Foundation to have support for artists in various ways, such as contract review, for example.
Yeah, what are you talking about? The idea that the foundation itself hopes to be able to, well, we push something called equitable exchange, which is of providing support for creators and publishers around guidelines for work, good, you know, equal work for equal pay and equal pay for equal work. The idea that we can hopefully help point out where many areas in the past, people who have signed either overly broad contracts or publishers have created underly broad contracts, that we can subsidize or even perhaps give free legal review through some of the lawyers that we work with for that sort of thing so that everybody comes out feeling good with each other.
And there are some very cool lawyers. There's actually a legal workshop that's going to be happening at Stumptown Comics Fest on the issue of copyrights.
There is.
And Cole Haver will be coming through again. He did actually, that was one of the best workshops that I attended last year. So tell us about some of the other, why should Portlanders care about the comic book community here in Portland? And why is City Hall getting involved?
Well, besides the fact that comics are amazing and wonderful and one of the best mediums of expression that there is, in my opinion, in Portland, it's a huge economic base. It's a base that's made up of almost entirely of freelancers. But I mean, in Portland, we have Dark Horse Comics, Oni Press, Top Shelf Productions, Cellar Door Productions, Shadowline Image, Sparkplug, and Teenage Dinosaur, just to name a couple of the publishers that are here in town. Just like having more strip clubs and bars per capita, we seem to have more comic shops, more comic book publishers, and more comic creators than almost anywhere in the world.
I usually tend to estimate that about a third of the industry lives in this town and works in this town.
Well, it's been called a black hole every year.
That's impolite.
Yeah, well, every year Stumptown has some guests who you bring some special guests to town, and then next year, hey, what the heck? They've moved into one of the neighborhoods around Portland.
That's actually just our secret plan. If you're listening, Paul Pope, that's why I'm bringing you.
But tell us about, the folks at this was originally in 2009 that the folks at City Hall.
Well, to back it up just a little bit, when Indigo, and you were actually a part of this long before I was, Kosh. Indigo Kelly created the convention because he wanted a forum for independent creators.
And we had a comic convention in town, but it was very much
Richard Fenn's show, the Portland Comic Book Show.
Yeah, a dealer show.
And we still do.
Yeah, it's a great show. I enjoy attending it. In the terms of, he actually gets really good guests. But it's filled with lots of back issues and cool stuff. It's a great thing to go to. I believe the next one's in October. Indigo really wanted to have a show that focused mainly on creators and allowing them access to the public. So that's where that started. I came on board, and I believe Cable did as well, about 4 years ago?
About that.
Indigo had expressed to me, like he had explained to me sort of how he does his convention through another business that I owned that was comic book related, asking for sponsorship. And when he sort of laid out how Stumptown itself existed, I asked him if he'd be open to sort of changing its structure. And he was very amenable to that. 4 years ago, we did that, had a show, the final show in the fall, I believe, then moved it forward into the spring, which used to be just for us. April was only, was basically Portland, the Stumptown Comic Festival was the only show in April. Emerald City was in March. This year, there has been a comic book show, or will be one, every single weekend of April.
Including MoCA and the new
MoCA's this coming week, and the new Reeves Exhibitions Chicago show. And we're very gratified that Comic-Con International, Reeves, and MoCA all called us to make sure that they weren't on our date. It was after we'd already signed contracts for April, because quite frankly, I would have probably gone ahead and moved it to May, and we could have made May the month of comics in the city of
and
Portland.
And MoCA is the big arts and comics. It's Museum of Comic, what is it now?
I believe it's the Museum of Comic and Cartoon Art in New York City.
Correct.
And,
this is something that I don't know that every American kind of has come to grips with, but certainly... certainly in Europe, in Japan, and even on the East Coast here, it's getting more and more evident that there are fine artists are moving into the comics field, are doing incredible work, you know, both in the old techniques, in the digital techniques, and you can see some of the results yourself. Say if you go into the Sequential Art Gallery, which is at the Everett mm-hmm. Station Loft.
Well, and many comic book creators are raising their level of craft. Mm-hmm. If you will, to the point that it's being recognized as fine art by people who previously wouldn't perceive it that way. I personally always have, because I love that art. But it is interesting to watch, as you say, you talk about mainstream, if you will, mainstream America or the majority of the
Alex
world.
Alex Ross, for example, who works for DC and Marvel and mm-hmm. does these painterly, beautiful, like gouache.
Very photorealistic, photo style rendered illustrations of superheroes and typically superheroes.
And you can see, actually, there's another fantastic show that's happening right now, and this opened for First Thursday at the Art Bar at the Performing Arts Center downtown, I think Broadway and Main, Madison. They have a group exhibition, and it's happening. It's going through April and May. It's on the lobby level of the Portland Center for Performing mm-hmm. Arts. You can see a couple dozen comic book artists, and incredibly...
Actually, there are 42
wow.
artists contributed to that show.
How many pieces?
Just over 80 pieces.
And
of
who
artwork.
Curated that show?
That was also curated by myself and Merrick Monroe. We're both the curators of Sequential Art Gallery.
I'd give you a big round of applause for it if that wouldn't be so annoying on a radio.
Thank you. This is the third year that we've worked with PCPA and Robin Williams and all the staff there. They're big supporters of the comic book industry as well, and comic books as art.
Now, this isn't necessarily the Robin Williams that we may know from, like, the Leno show. This
it's is necessarily a, no, not no. that Robin Williams.
No, not at all. This is Robin Williams, who's the executive director of the Portland Center for the Performing Arts.
She spells her name with a Y.
Okay. And when we had First Thursday, last Thursday, there were some real luminaries in the art bar down there checking out the art and talking to the people.
Well, we had, actually, Cable Field, that one. If you know.
We had, there's Paul Guinan and Ananda Bennett. Shannon Wheeler
Friends
was
of the
there.
Show?
Yes.
New Yorker cartoonist Shannon Wheeler. If you've checked that out, you should.
I have.
I have
a sub.
Good.
New
Excellent.
Yorker,
yes. Yeah. In fact, one of the pieces from the New Yorker is up there as well. Mm-hmm.
And then, the guy who spoke looked very familiar. He looked a lot like...
Looked a lot like our mayor, Sam Adams.
Yeah,
is that
true.
It?
That yeah. Was, he was very witty. Yes.
That was the day that, since it was the first day of April, Mayor Sam Adams came in and read the proclamation declaring it Portland Comic Book Month in Portland.
For the second year in a row.
Third year in a row.
It's the second for Sam. This started through the offices of arts and culture that were headed up by Polly Ann Burge.
We want to give a big shout out to Polly Ann Burge, arts and culture.
Hi, Polly.
Yes.
Hi, Polly.
And we were hoping to get her on the phone, but because she is doing such great stuff, she is just stacked with work.
Lots of stuff going on with Polly, but she basically shepherded us, spearheaded the proclamation of Portland as the city of comics and or comic book month in mm-hmm. Portland for the city of April, or for the month of April, rather, during the foundation, or during the show. And Tom Potter was the first mayor to create that, and Sam has continued it on and been more involved. Sam came to our big dinner last year, a CBLDF, Stumptown Comic Book
that
Foundation
is,
benefit.
Yeah. Comic Book Legal Defense Fund, and it was $100 a plate, and the place was packed. And
sold out.
Yeah, and it did real good.
It was a
real,
good time, and we are very, very grateful to Farrell Dalrymple and Craig Thompson, Bob
Matt
Schreck,
Wagner.
Matt Wagner, a number of people. Mike Dringenberg, if I can.
Let's do a quick aside and mention to people why there is a need for a play, for an outfit like the Comic Book Legal Defense Fund. Because it's not just, you know, funny animals and guys in tights. Well, sometimes comic books step over the line.
As the line? As Cable coined, if I may.
Yes, you may. Please.
It's a format, not a genre.
Okay.
And a large perception is that comic books are for kids. And every once in a while, it's never happened in Portland, but it does happen across the United States, where people will go into a comic shop, basically do a vice bust. They'll grab a comic that is not meant for children, is usually very clearly labeled not for children. And I'm not talking about pornography necessarily. I'm just talking about adult material.
Much like you would see in an R-rated film.
Yeah, or in any bookstore. But in a comic book format, some people have the perception that it's simply not allowed to be expressed, that you know, that genre, that voice is not allowed to be expressed in comics. And the Comic Book Legal Defense Fund is the first and basically massive only line of defense, if you will, to prove to the world legally that comic books are completely protected by the First Amendment, just as every other form of media and expression are.
And, you know, before any of us were a gleam in anybody's eye, the comic books were causing controversy as far as Senate hearings,
sure,
congressional
the
hearings.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And this was...
But I might be older than I look.
Back in World War II, GIs were getting comics, you know, sent overseas to them. They're very realistic portrayals of war and of civil, you know, disturbances back home, all kinds of crazy stuff. You know, obviously this was not sitting well with certain elements of society, and they tried to shut this down, which is why for a long time comic books did get relegated to, you know, the sort of the candy store.
That's the history of the world, though. Every once in a while, some idiot tries to build a career on some point.
Mm-hmm.
The Comic Book Legal Defense Fund was actually formed in 1990 by Dennis Kitchen of Kitchen Sink Publications at the time, and Kitchen Sink Inc. And because of a case called the Friendly Franks case, it was a comics bust of just some overzealous DA in I believe Kansas City. But it's all, you know, look it up online. But go to Comic Book Legal. Actually, it's cbldf.org. O-R-G. Mm-hmm. They'll be here at the show on April 24th and 25th, but you should definitely go visit them right now on the website, and please contribute.
And the website is stumptowncomics.com.
Yeah, and that's comics.com. Okay. So stumptowncomics.com is our website.
And we are talking this morning with Shannon Stewart and Cable Hashitani of the Stumptown Comic Book Foundation. The show is Words and Pictures. I'm your host, S.W. Conser. And we're talking about Portland Comic Book Month and why the folks at City Hall have seen fit to honor the comic book community, the comics community here in Portland.
They love comics.
Tell us a little bit about your conversations with, you know, obviously about 3 or 4 years ago, talking to the folks in City Hall and getting to the point where there are comics artists whose work is up in Mayor Sam Adams' office.
True. Again, that's Polly Burge that mm-hmm. put together that art show for the last couple of years, even when she was head of Arts and Culture Council.
Yeah, correct? It was back when Sam was the city commissioner for Arts and Culture.
And he started doing First Thursday at City Hall, if I recall.
Correct. Mm-hmm. And that was, they would have artists contribute art, and they would show them in all the city commissioner's offices. And they had a couple comic book shows during that time period.
Which I believe Polly was responsible for.
Yes,
right?
Yes, she was. She's a big comic book fan.
Champion.
As herself. She's a champion professionally because she recognizes it as the art form that it is and also recognizes how it benefits Portland economically and culturally.
Yeah, and we're working with things. I mean, through City Hall, we're working with things like Travel Portland and other big established Portland tourism type elements. To let people know just how much. I mean, you know, if you get off the airplane, you come down the ramp and it says Portland, City Bridges, City Roses. I want that to say City of Comics as well. part of that is just simply showing how large an economic base, how much money comics contribute to Portland. It's hard to do because there are so many freelance people. There's so many different companies. It's not as if it's all under one umbrella. But, you know, I mean, Dark Horse is, while they're in Milwaukee, I mean, they are the largest independent comic book publisher in the world. So,
and we want to mention Polly Burge. She's arts and culture. So she's really big at the whole range of performing arts, of visual arts, of everything that goes on.
Mm-hmm.
But let's face it, Portland and to a greater extent, Oregon is a little behind the curve on supporting the arts. There needs to be a whole bringing together of all the communities to say, you know, we need to get more support from not only the corporate sponsorships and not only the partnerships, but also, you know, the taxpayers to build this, to build this scene, because the arts really lead the economic revivals when the economy comes back up again.
If I may, 2 points. First, a semantic point. Portland does support the arts. the patronage of the arts isn't necessarily there. That's because everybody loves art. Everyone goes out and supports First Thursday and Last Thursday.
So
Portland is very supportive of the arts. They just don't always have the money to back that up. Mm-hmm. And second, one of the people that are kind of spearheading wanting to do more sponsorship of things that they recognize as being very Portland and part of the artistic culture of the city would be our sponsor, McTarnahan's. They came on board last year.
Yes, indeed.
And McTarnahan's Brewing Company.
McTarnahan's is making people very happy at First Thursday.
Yeah. That's thanks to Mark Carver. I mean, he's done right by us. They changed their mission statement or their mission about how they wanted to really be known and leave their mark. They don't want to just brew beer. They want to be involved in their local community, and they want to find things that are very Portland. There are a
and
couple
rumor
of
has it that comic book creators and fans of age love to drink.
This is true.
There is that rumor.
So, I mean, that's one of those things that where you can, every time you buy McTarnahan's, you're supporting the comic book community in this city because they're sponsoring Stumptown, and Stumptown supports comic book artists. So,
yeah, every time you go and buy comics from local comic book, not only local comic book companies, because many of these people do help sponsor this as well, but it's also comic book stores.
And the nice thing about,
Cosmic Monkey Comics, Excalibur Books and Comics,
Wapo
Comics over on Foster. All of these guys are, you know, we reach out and have reached out to us. Bridge City, Mike Ring.
And then the nice thing about these places are they're not chains. They are, Portland people doing business with Portland people and with people coming in from out of town.
It's very friendly business. Yes.
And the one store that is technically a chain is still very local. Mm-hmm. And that's
and they're heavily involved. Yeah. I didn't even think to mention them because I always think about them as Dark Horse, even though they are sort of the retail arm of Dark Horse. They are their own business, Things from Another World. And they have come in this year. They'll be exhibiting at the fest for the first time. And that's very exciting.
Yeah. Andrew McIntyre and Elizabeth Forsyth have been pushing this, staying local and spending more money locally to support Portland businesses and getting Things from Another World more involved.
I'd like to talk a little bit too about the nature of the Stumptown Comic Book Festival, and we're talking about Portland in general.
That's right. I wanted to make sure that because that's coming up in just a couple weeks. You guys have been busier than a one-legged man, and we want to make sure that people know about the dates for that, about what special events and workshops and cool stuff is happening.
I can run down that right now. Actually, what I can tell you easily is that the show itself is at the Lloyd Center Doubletree Hotel. That's right outside of the Lloyd Center near Lloyd Cinemas. It's right on the Max Line.
Red, blue, and green.
Red, blue, and green. It's runs April 24th and 25th. That's Saturday and Sunday from 10 a.m. until 6 p.m. It's $6 at the door for one day or $10 for a weekend pass.
That's nothing.
Cheap. The majority
below
of the room.
Age of eight is, I think.
Oh, yeah. Actually, below the age of eight is free.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I forgot to mention
and
that.
And all the workshops are free when you pay admission.
Yeah. The workshops are just simply part of the admission.
Yeah.
The entire event is that way. It is a largely cash run business right there, so there's ATMs and that sort of stuff, but most of the creators in the room don't have the facility to take debit cards or anything like that, so we always like to tell people, bring money, actual money.
Cash is good.
To use.
And there's deals, and there's original art, so it's
there is original art. Paul Pope will have some original art there for sale, I have heard. So
you've got all kinds of great resources for people for people of all ages. Like Neil Scorpion is going to be doing his thing for kids this year.
Yeah, as part of the workshops. Mm-hmm. That'll be great. And again, with the panels, many of our creators will be giving talks about specific things. You mentioned the
copyright issue
and that sort of stuff.
PNCA will have their workshops.
There are also nightly events that, while they don't take place at the hotel, they are either put on by our sponsors or in part sponsored by us. The Friday night before the show at Guapo Comics on Foster, there will be the Macy Kukoc Awards presented by Jesse Recklaw.
Mm-hmm. That's another artist.
A Stumptown and McTarnahan sponsored event. Saturday night will be the Stumptown Trophy Awards, which is our big award show that's voted on at the show on Saturday. So
and do
come
we have
on Saturday.
Art battle as well.
There will be a comic art battle.
Sweet.
Again. That's a comic, Cosmic Monkey comic books. It's a comic book store on 53rd and Northeast Sandy.
Yeah, it's 5335
Northeast Sandy. There we go. And that should kick off probably around 8 o'clock on Saturday. And on Sunday night, there will be, besides having a Dr. Sketchy's event that's, I believe, all ages.
And this is at, like, figure drawing or something.
That is, it's called the Anti-Art School, Dr. Sketchy's Anti-Art School, which is basically figure drawing, which if you're going to draw comics, you need to know how to draw the figure. In some your form or another, but it usually helps to draw from life. And that will be, not only will there be an event at Stumptown on Sunday with the Dr. Sketchy's, but then there is an actual Dr. Sketchy's has come back to Portland, is sponsored by Baby Tattoo Books. They will be at the Bossa Nova Ballroom in the upstairs with special guest model Harvest Moon. Downstairs at the Bossa Nova, there will be the Stumptown After Party. It's kind of a dead dog party, thank you to the volunteers, and a hangout for everybody that might have a special guest DJ and maybe some video and perhaps some other appearances, but that information will be updated via Facebook, Twitter, and our
website
itself. So tons of things happening over those 3 days.
Yeah, a lot of over 21 stuff. So
And also a lot of you know, child friendly stuff as well. We try and point that out at the door. I mean, it is it's, how would you say, family friendly? I mean, you know,
it is family friendly.
The daytime stuff is all very family friendly. Yeah. And your interest as, you know, people who have set down the foundation is to take all of these great resources and to spread them out throughout the year and to make sure that, you know, as many people as possible, you know, can be nurtured in the comic book world through the foundation and through the ideas and the resources and the people and the connections that you have.
It is. We've been given a great amount of support. The Stumptown Festival itself, as I said, you know, I've been not been involved with it as long as it's existed, of course. You, like I said, as I said, you and Indigo, you know, were there at the very first one in the church.
Yeah, the old church downtown. My gosh. So
Stumptown has an incredible amount of goodwill, an incredible amount of support from the community. And we are hoping to reach a point where we are going to be able to give that back in spades. So that's what we work towards, is a mutually supportive comic book industry and comic book community in Portland, Oregon.
So if people who were, say, you know, business leaders in Oregon or civic leaders or just, you know, patrons of the arts wanted to get in touch with you and, you know, the foundation in particular, what would be a good way to do that?
You can go directly to our website to reach me. I'm also reachable at director@stumptowncomics.com. But there are a number of forms on the website and the contact that you can reach any of us.
Correct. And you can reach me at president@stumptowncomics.com.
So excellent.
Pretty clear.
And in the meantime, go check out the various art shows, the one at Sequential Art, and what are the hours at Sequential Art, by the way?
We're open every Saturday from 11 to 5 or by appointment.
And also on first Thursday, of course.
And also every first Thursday.
That's at the Everett Station Lofts in the Pearl, very very easily reached by yellow and green lines. And the Art Bar downtown at the Portland Center for Performing Arts.
Correct, 1111 Southwest Broadway.
Okay, and that's pretty much open, you know, during the day and even the evenings.
Yeah,
usually.
It's open during their box office hours, which is from 10 to 5 Monday through Saturday, and then during their performances.
Check out the artwork. I think most of it's for sale, actually, the stuff on the walls.
The majority of it is. There are some not-for-sale pieces, but the majority of it is.
And once again, Stumptown Comics Fest. Dates, April
24th and 25th, Saturday and Sunday, coming up fast.
All right, at the Doubletree in the Lloyd Center.
Lloyd Center.
We've been talking to Shannon Stewart and Cable Hashitani from the Stumptown Comic Book Foundation. You're listening to Words and Pictures here on KBOO. I'm SW Conser, your host. Thank you for listening. We're going to be back later in the month with a surprise that we're hoping is going to be related to Stumptown Comics Fest. Until then, enjoy an afternoon of music and keep listening to your community radio station, KBOO. Thank you.